Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. Reason? Well, several reasons. There's a lot of them. Because whether it's auto, home, life, or business insurance, they've always been able to find their customers the right insurance, so they're covered. And at the same time, they've also been able to find their customers the best price. Critical. Absolutely critical. Then it comes time where you're covered. Something happens. Or you may have a question. You may be nervous, uptight about something. You want to make sure. They'll take care of it for you right away. They'll get you the right answer. That way you have the reassurance you need. Or if there's a problem, they'll go to work for you as if it happened to them. They're your partner in all of this. It is Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You know what? You can make a year to remember by making it a November to remember by getting a great vehicle at Sunbury Motors. All right. Let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. The Colts have been playing solid football. Yesterday against Miami, they needed Adam Vinatieri at the end to win it.
From 32 yards away, snap, ball down, kick is up, it's got the distance, it's good, it's good, the Colts have won it, the Colts have won it! Indianapolis has won five consecutive games, final score at Lucas Oil Stadium, it's the Colts 27, the Miami Dolphins 24.
Meanwhile, the Nittany Lion football team has won five of its last six down the stretch, including its last three in a row. To be honest with you, after the opening touchdown by Jonathan Taylor in the Wisconsin game, I have not felt for 1 second like Penn State was threatened after that. Not one time. They outscored Wisconsin 22-3 after that. They shut down Rutgers, winning 20-7, and they shut down Maryland 38-3. Did you see what Rutgers did to Michigan State this weekend? Michigan State won the game 14-10 in East Lansing on Senior Day. I mean, we can kid around about Rutgers all we want, but, you know, Northwestern's playing Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship game. Just 3 weeks ago, Northwestern beat Rutgers 18-15 in Piscataway. All right, so let's bring Ben Jones, StateCollege.com in. Ben, welcome back. It's always great to have you with us. Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the first time in a long time, you saw Penn State having fun and playing with fun, and the offense played with confidence. You know, we saw Juwan Johnson come back from injury. He caught both the passes he was thrown. Trace sort of broke out the greatest hits running and throwing. So I think, you know, it was a day, you know, senior day is a day that, you know, programs like to celebrate the careers of guys, and I think you know, it was sort of a good way for Trace to go out to have the game that he did, the offense to sort of put it together the way that it did over the course of the game. And, you know, more functionally from the standpoint of really football, I think we've seen Penn State's defense certainly benefit a little bit about with who they've going up against these past few weeks, but they're playing as good a defense as anybody. I thought Yetur Gross-Matos and Tariq Castro-Fields looked fantastic. Micah Parsons continues to look more and more confident. So I think for Penn State, you know, outside of winning the bowl, you know, there were a few ways to end the regular season and really in a lot of ways the season in general, you know, with this month break before they head to wherever they go, probably Orlando, but wherever they end up, you know, I don't think you could have asked for a better day if you're a Penn State football fan.
It just looked like from where we were sitting that Penn State just absolutely owned the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and James had said after the game that they had sort of, you know, they had watched what Maryland had done against Ohio State. They had watched what just to go back down the coaching tree, what they had sort of, what Pitt had done, and what, Maryland had adopted in its coaching staff, and that they were going to compartmentalize how they handle these things. The outside guys were going to handle those outside actions, and then the linebackers in the box were going to deal with everything inside. So there was really nothing that Maryland could do, with a pretty good running back. And I think because of that, Penn State, like you said, they controlled the defensive line, and even without Michael Mennett on the offensive line, Penn State was able to make holes for a lot of guys. I thought you mentioned a guy who probably should get more credit. Ricky Slade looked pretty good and probably the most action he's had all year. And he's, for all intents and purposes, not played very much at all this year. It's cliche and everything, but, you win in the trenches, you win up front, and you'll win a lot of football games.
No question. You saw Ricky Slade get in there. You saw Daniel George made a catch and had a heck of a run after it. There are, as of this hour, and we'll see how it plays out over the next few weeks, but including the specialists, 42 of the 48 in the two-deep return. That's if everything played out accordingly and nobody decided to move to the NFL. So what did you see in the growth of this football team, especially in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think you're just seeing them become more and more confident. I talked to Tariq after the game, Castro Fields, about sort of these younger guys taking ownership of their roles, because, next season there's not going to be an Amani to watch it in coverage. There's not going to be some of these guys that we're used to seeing out there, and some of these younger defenders in particular, and not that Tariq Castro Fields or Gross Matos are really young guys, but they're not the oldest guys on this team. That's going to be their job now, to sort of lead this bunch. And I think you've seen on both sides of the ball, you've seen younger guys become more and more confident and more sure of what they're doing. And I think one of the biggest things that they're doing well right now is everybody knows their job and they're doing it. They're not trying to overcompensate for the guy next to them, or not question whether he can do it. And it's not a matter of did this team have trust issues. It's not that at all, but simply the fact that it takes practice to do simply your job and your job alone. And I think the biggest thing we've seen over the past few weeks is younger guys get good at just doing their job, and the guy next to him does his job, and that goes on and on down the line. And pretty soon you end up with a pretty good football team. Certainly, there's some things they can do better and things they'll have to get better at. But if you look at this year as one dot on a long line of careers, certainly all of the data is headed in the right direction.
Okay, so now you've seen this play out. Now everybody knows this becomes the mystery week and the guest week. Tomorrow night will be in the next step, and that is finding out the rankings for the college football playoffs. So what are your best guesses on, A, where you think Penn State will be as a guess, and then where Penn State might go as a guess?
Yeah, I think you've seen some hopeful, talking to some Penn State people, they're sort of hopeful that they might be able to sneak into a New Year's Six. It would be a little weird if they ended up going to the Fiesta Bowl twice, so it kind of, or twice in a row at least, so that kind of leans towards the Peach.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that leans a little bit towards the Peach in Atlanta. I think it really comes down to not only this weekend. These weekend games will give everyone a lot of clarity, but also kind of what you think of Washington and Washington State. That seems to be kind of the wild card that is keeping Penn State and the likes of Florida on and off the bubble. I think that going to Orlando is probably the best bet at this point for the Citrus Bowl. But also, I read Jerry Palm as much as everybody else and nod my head fervently with whatever he says, because this stuff is a weird little alchemy and some algebra involved. But my best bet is Citrus, and that's fine with me just as long as it's warm.
Okay, let's get to some other games over the weekend. I want to start with Ohio State, Michigan. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I think, the thing that makes Michigan so good and has made Michigan so good is I think simply the fact that even if you know what they're going to try and do, even if you get the general contours of their offense, they're just so much better at executing it on both sides of the ball. They're not afraid to be aggressive on defense. They're not afraid to pound it with an offense that looks a little bit like the 90s sometimes, but it has worked, and you've seen it against Penn State. Especially some of those first few drives when they refused to throw it and they just ran it down Penn State's throat. And even if you knew it was coming, there was not a lot you could do. But on the flip side, when you get a quarterback protection, when you have an offense that's got a lot of weapons and can create space in a lot of those man-to-man coverage situations like Ohio State was able to, suddenly you're moving the ball pretty well against a good defense. I think we saw it, you know, last year, you know, when Michigan came here to town, that they had a good defense that year too, and Penn State just had so many skill players and so many guys that could make plays against this defense that really most of the Big Ten is not able to do, and Ohio State's one of those teams that can. And I think defensively, Ohio State, you know, certainly has been prone to giving up the big play, but Michigan's offense has not really been a big chunk play through the air kind of offense the same way that it has been happy to run it on the ground. Did I think Ohio State was going to score 60-plus points? No. Did I think Ohio State was going to win? I wasn't terribly surprised. I thought it was going to be obviously closer than that. But I think ultimately Ohio State's a perfect storm of great coaching, good defense, and they've got the offensive weapons and the sort of mindset in the one area that Michigan struggles to defend. And because of that, you know, ultimately, not the final score, maybe not even the kind of game I expected, but I was not shocked by the ultimate who won that game.
What order would you have your top six in right now heading into the weekend?
Oh, goodness.
Alabama won.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama's obviously won. You've got Georgia's up there. You know, you've got to figure out what to do with Oklahoma and Ohio State. I think this past weekend kind of is, it'll be interesting what happens tomorrow night, because we're going to find out what that committee thinks to value some of these games where you go, Ohio State's not been really a top five team most of the year. Now they've got this great win. Notre Dame is obviously, you know, probably that third spot just out of the nature of never losing. You've got to get something for that.
Right. Georgia's probably four.
Georgia's probably four. You've got Oklahoma in there. And then, you know, it's really, that's the debate right now is, where do you put Oklahoma? Where do you put Ohio State? What do you do with Michigan? I still think Michigan's probably a top six team ultimately, because most teams can't do what Ohio State does. I do not envy that committee, because I think there are a few nightmare scenarios in here that could happen this weekend. They won't have to deal with it tomorrow. But, you know, God forbid Northwestern loses, Oklahoma loses, or Northwestern wins, excuse me, rather. You know, there's some situations in here where, you know, I don't envy those people.
Here's the issue I have with Oklahoma. I'm sorry. You're not a complete football team if you can't play defense. I mean, you can't play defense. You're not, to me. I watched a little bit of the Oklahoma-West Virginia game. I turned it off. I went to Washington State. I'm like, this isn't football. It's not football.
It's tough, because that entire conference has really been predicated on that sort of air raid, explosive. It's, you know, Kansas City, LA Rams kind of game, and it's got to be sort of your taste. I watched that. I flipped back and forth between that one and Washington State, and ended up just being a sucker for snow, so I watched that one instead. But you're absolutely right. I mean, especially if you're going to parse hairs and whatnot, you know, if you're talking about complete football teams. Oklahoma certainly can beat anyone, because they can score on anyone, but can they stop everybody? And certainly the answer is probably not, at least not so far this season.
It'll be interesting when it's all said and done. Always a pleasure, Ben. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me.